Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be gathered here together. Enjoyed the service so far and felt like it in many ways pointed to the message and devotions this morning on trusting God, and also various things from our thoughts on Manasseh. Also, I thought about what we were going to talk about here this morning. And you know, I guess we all live in room for improvement. Brother Marlon was saying if we bring what we're going to be doing next week to church, then we have some needs in our life. I think great what he was saying. That I was thinking about hanging a rolling steel that we got to do this week and worrying about that a little bit. And you know, I don't know. I'm not always able to do that and leave it all go. But I know we need to. I'm certainly thankful though that we can have a day that we can rest from our work. And even though maybe don't always leave our mind, we it's a day of rest. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, continuing our studies in Matthew. And we'd like to look at Jesus' miracles. There are two chapters, chapter 8 and part of chapter 9, where it's pretty much full of miracles that Jesus did. And if you want a title for the message this morning, it's Beyond the Miracle. And I don't know what you think when you read these miracles. There's a couple of ways to read this. And one is that I read the miracle and I say, you know what, I just wish Jesus was here. And, you know, if I was sick, I could get better that quick. And that's about as far as we think about it. But I would like to suggest to you that there was something much more that Jesus was trying to teach than just simply going around healing people and doing the miracles that he did. We'll read about here this morning. And so we're going to read them and then we're going to look at them. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he was coming down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me, let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. He said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed into his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And we'll jump over to verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as the sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, as we read about these miracles, and it would seem to me that most of these happened within a short amount of time, within, I'm going to say, a few days. And I really believe, like, if we read the words of the back of the book of John, what we have recorded is only a little bit of a little picture into what it was like when Jesus was here on this earth. And he says there, John said at the end, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, in the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And I get the picture in Matthew 8 and 9 that as Jesus was walking, it was just, he got done healing one person, he went out the door, there's someone that had a devil, and it just, everywhere he walked, he was touching people, meeting people's needs. But is there a lesson for us, other than we just read these miracles and say, well, you know, I just, it'd been great to have been there, wish he was here now, maybe doing some of that stuff, he could heal maybe a problem I have or whatever it is. Is that all we can get out of it? Is that all there is to learn? And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that what we're going to look at is that in the miracles is the story of salvation, and also I believe there is a message on the assurance of salvation in the miracles we looked at today. Now, it's not going to be the normal type of salvation messages or the normal type of assurance of salvation messages, but when we look at what I believe Jesus was trying to give people a real-life lesson of what he could do in their lives, not only physically, but spiritually. And so the first one, we're going to look at the different types of miracles that Jesus did, and then we'll try to look at what we can learn from that. So the first one, number one, Jesus wanted them to look beyond the miracles to see God who has power over sickness. And that was the first one when he came down off the mountain from teaching there, and the leper came to him and said, "You know what? If you want to, you can heal me of my leprosy." Jesus said, "I will be clean." And it's just that simple. It was over. It was done. He was clean. You got to show yourself to the priest. And there were other healing sicknesses as Jesus went through. The woman who had a sickness for 12 years came and touched his garment. If I can just touch him. But sickness is a result of the curse. And one of the things that Jesus was trying to teach the people as he went about healing them is, you know what? I am more powerful than the curse that came upon man when he sinned. I am more powerful than sickness. God who has power over sickness. And Jesus said very clearly, he said, one of the reasons I'm doing this is so that you can know I have the power to forgive sins. Every time I heal somebody, I want you to think about the fact that if I can heal someone who had the curse upon them, I can forgive sins. And we'll see that more as we go through the message here. But our devotional leader, it's David, right? Not Jonathan, David. Okay, I get your voice mixed up. David was talking about trusting God. And you know, one of the things that all of us fear is sickness. You know, cancer is a dreaded word. Anytime you hear the word cancer, it's bad news, right? I remember my mom calling me whenever my grandpa was sick. We knew it was getting close, but I remember my mom calling me and said, "Well, he has leukemia now." And I just remember her being broken up because she knew that that was the end. That was the final straw. Sickness is something that brings fear to our hearts. Because, you know, sickness brings things into our life that we didn't necessarily want. And disease and sickness is something we really can't control. But God is Jesus, when he was here on this earth, was pointing people to look beyond the sickness to the miracle that he could do. Jesus wanted them to understand, number two, that he had power over the storms or over the elements. Bad storms cause fear. And some people say they love thunderstorms. And I do too, but I also believe that thunderstorms are to be respected and that they display the power of God. The lightning that flashes and the crack of the thunder, to me, is a clear display of the power of God. And I was trying to think of the worst storm I was in. The memories that burned in my mind the worst are the wind storms in Edenville. And I didn't know you were going to be here this morning, but if you haven't lived in Edenville, you might not know what I'm talking about. But there's some bad wind storms back there. And when we lived back there, I slept with earplugs in my ears more than one night just so I could get some sleep because of the shrieking of the wind. And I know Amos Bricker had said that I think one of those storms would be at 70-mile-an-hour winds. And I think that those were probably the worst times. I remember being on my knees praying that the house would stay together. I mean, that's just how bad it felt. And, you know, it may seem funny now, but it wasn't funny then. It wasn't funny then. But yet I also remember seeing, I think it was a film on hurricanes or something. I remember seeing it through the picture, through the video of Hurricane Katrina. And as it hit land at 185 or whatever that speed was that one hit land at. And I realized I had never seen anything even close to that. And if I would have been in that situation there on land where the Hurricane Katrina hit, or some of the other hurricanes that were have the same kind of winds, it would have been a fearful thing. I don't know how you'd almost been certain death for the most part. And yet, so here was the disciples, and they were in a ship, and I don't know how bad the winds were, but the waves were coming over the ship, it says. The waves were covering the ship. It was a pretty bad wind, and they were afraid for their lives. And the disciples came, and they woke him, and he said, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he gets up, "What are you scared about?" He said, "Just be still," and all of a sudden, whew. Now, I think about if during those 70-mile-an-hour winds in Edenville, if all of a sudden that everything would have went, choom. You know, winds don't do that. You're just, okay, the next day, they're only calling for 30-mile-an-hour gusts today. Oh, my, that's much better. If the winds would all of a sudden went from high gusts to nothing, you'd almost probably want to go out and look around and see what was going on. If Hurricane Katrina would have went coming inland with 185-mile-per-hour winds and all of a sudden would have went like nothing, I mean, that would have brought astonishment. And I think that's what the disciples were facing as they got also, they thought they were about to face death. The power of water and the power of wind, you get those two together and it creates a life-threatening situation. That's what they were in. And Jesus just stood up and said, "Be calm." And not only did the wind stop, but the waves all of a sudden were still. It says the wind and the sea. And that happened on more than one occasion if you read through the Gospels. I think it's a couple different occasions. But what was Jesus trying to speak to here? And I think the men on the boat asked the right kind of question. What kind of man is this that he can get up and the wind obeys him and the sea waves obey him? What kind of man is this? Number three, third type of miracle that Jesus did. Jesus wanted them to understand that he was more powerful than the devils and unclean spirits. The people were afraid of these men possessed with devils. It said that no man would go that way because they were afraid of these two men. Men who were possessed of devils. Men who, it says, were exceeding fierce. That the word it used, exceeding fierce, and no man went that way. And this story doesn't necessarily talk about this, but you know from reading the scriptures that there were times when the devils would throw their victim on the ground and they would do all sorts of things. And yet, who were the devils afraid of? They were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of Jesus. And I think of the verse in 1 John 4, verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And it's a verse that's repeated many times. And yet it is so true. And one of the foundational points for us to think about, especially as we think about salvation, as we think about what God can do in our lives, is the fact that, yes, the devil has power. Yes, the devil turns some people into very fierce-looking creatures, but there is someone who has more power than all that, and that's Jesus Christ. That is God. And when we think about what Jesus was trying to teach here, as he went about casting out devils and unclean spirits, he did it many times throughout here. One of the things that he was clearly saying is, "I have more power than the works of darkness." As we think about salvation, and as we think about approaching living in a wicked world that we do, one of the promises we must claim is that we have someone in our life, and we have faith in someone who has much more power than all the darks around us. And we must hold on to that promise. Not only that, but to me it's also clear the devils also knew that they were less in power than Jesus. The devils also knew that their day of condemnation was coming. And so, you know, we become sometimes afraid of the bondage of sin, and we should be to an extent. And yet, we have someone who is more powerful than sin, than any bondage the devil can bring in our lives. And also, I remember sitting in Elvenhurst's kitchen one time, when I was there, been there a number of times, and sat around his table and talked. And he told me that our instruction book has a problem. He said, one of the problems is that it has a whole lesson dedicated to the powers of darkness and no lesson dedicated to Jesus Christ. And he said, that's backwards. He said, we can talk all day about the powers of darkness, but we must remember that Jesus Christ is the one who has more power than the works of darkness. And I don't say that to be critical. I'm just saying that to help us remember the point that no matter how much power Satan has, Jesus, clearly when he was here on this earth, had more power than the fiercest of devils that were out there. Number four, Jesus wanted them to understand that he had power over death. And I marvel at the faith of the man who was the ruler of the synagogue. He said, just come, lay your hand, and she's going to rise from the dead. That's what he told him. And Jesus came and did it. But I think I didn't actually go through and count how many people, and we maybe not even know how many people Jesus rose. Say he rose them from the dead. I don't know if that's quite right terminology. But they were dead, and he rose them to life again. And, death brings fear to people more than anything else. It is the end of life, and it's the beginning of eternity. And for many people, it's the beginning of eternity without God, the beginning of eternal damnation to those who are lost. But here comes Jesus, and death, the thing that people fear and run from, Jesus comes and he says, get up. The one who has the power over death. And we know from the scriptures and because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that he has taken away the sting of death. And 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that, and we don't have time to go there. But Jesus brought people, I believe, away, that he rose, people rose from the dead. He raised them back to life again to prove to us that death for the Christian, death for the child of God, there is no power over that, over death anymore. Satan had the dominion of that, but he lost it. Then number five, we talked about this a little bit. Jesus wanted them to know that he had the power and authority to forgive sins. You know, why was Jesus doing all this? He lived on this earth where he was as 33 years, but for 3 years in doing his ministry, healing people, raising the dead. He would tell a story, you know, quiet the storms, casting out devils. And all of a sudden, he leaves. And people die again. People get sick. People get afraid. And people sin. And sin is another problem that man is plagued with. Sin brings fear, guilt, and condemnation. But Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 9, he said, one of the reasons that I'm doing all of these miracles, one of the reasons that I am coming and I am healing the sick, one of the reasons I am coming and healing those who are possessed with the devil, one of the reasons I'm coming and I rebuke the storms, is so that you can know that I have power and authority to forgive sins. And that word power there, it's the same word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where the woman should have power on her head. And that word means authority, power and authority. It also means Jesus had authority to forgive sins. And he had the right. See, there's not, no one else can forgive sin. We can forgive each other in this way, but none of us can take care of another person's problem before God. And Jesus, while he was here on this earth, said, I want you to know the reason I'm doing these things is so you know that I can forgive sins. And I think that one of the big points he was trying to get across is the fact that, listen, if I can still the storm, if I can tell a storm that's raging, the winds to be quiet, if I can make the waves that are all of a sudden quiet, you know, there's upper graders. We went kayaking yesterday. You know, right after we started, we went through that, the worst fall, it was the best one, but it was the most dangerous one right away, right? You know, Jesus can all of a sudden could make that just calm. He has the power to do that. He did it on the sea. Now, I know there's a little bit of difference. Those were caused by wind, this was by rocks, but just an illustration to help us get the point. But the men on the boat, when that happened, said, what kind of man is this? And the answer to that question is, it's the God who controls the universe. It's the God who has everything in his control. And one of the things that Jesus, by his miracles, was, I think, trying hard to teach everyone is that if I can do this, then I can forgive sins. I can take care of sins. If you come to me, I can forgive them. These verses, these miracles that Jesus did, and we must believe them by faith. I believe the word of God as it is spoken. And if we don't believe the word of God, I'm not sure where to go with that. But we believe by faith what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. We believe the miracles happened. And in these miracles, in these scriptures, give us so much reason to believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ. By the miracles that he did, by raising to life someone who was dead, by stilling the storm, by immediately healing leprosy, by healing a woman immediately that was sick for 12 years, and on the list goes, Jesus was saying, listen, I want you to know that I can forgive sins. I can take care of the sin problem. Now I'd like to look at the response of people to Jesus' miracles. Response of people to Jesus' miracles. And we need to make this practical today in some ways. And I know that it's more common for younger ones to struggle with assurance of salvation. And one of the points I want us to take home today is to remember this little lesson, is the fact that a God who can still the storm, a God who had power over the devils, over works of darkness, a God who could heal people from their sicknesses, can forgive your sins. He can do that. He can forgive your sins. And he will do that. But let's look at the response of some people. Number one, some came to Jesus having full confidence that Jesus could help their problem. And I find that amazing. I also wonder how many people who lived in Jesus' time were not healed. It was kind of a new thought to me. I think it's in the book of The Bronze Bow, where that writer, and it's purely his imagination, but it was a new thought to me to think about the fact that there were people who were not healed because they did not have the faith to believe it. And I suppose that's probably correct because of some of what Jesus was saying here as he was going about healing people. But the response Jesus gave, I think, he really commended the centurion, and the centurion said, you know what, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. Actually, I'm not even worthy that you would come to my house. But he said, you just say the word, and I know that you can heal my daughter. Or no, this is a servant. It wasn't his daughter, it was his servant. And Jesus said, wow, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And one of the reasons I believe that Jesus said that is because this centurion clearly understood that Jesus came from God. And the only way that a person could just speak the word and heal his servant is if he clearly understood that God, Jesus came from God, and because he came from God, he could do this miracle. And see, that was the very thing that his own people that he came to could not accept, that he came from God. But this centurion said, just say the word. I know you came from, he didn't say this all, but I know you came from God. Just say the word, and I know that my servant's going to be whole. And Jesus said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed. And that's noticed there several times. We'll look at it. Jesus speaks these words. As thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And so we have that response coming in full confidence. The ruler of the synagogue came a little bit different. He still wanted Jesus to come to his house. Said, come, lay your hand on him. And I don't take that Jesus made any difference between those responses. They were all responses of faith. The woman who touched Jesus' garment did not want a big scene. She just knew that if she touched his garment, she would be whole. She had faith in that. But there was a connection in between people's faith and what God could do for them. We see that in 8 verse 13, which I did read that. Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Also chapter 9 verse 2. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then we have chapter 9 verses 28 through 30. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And I wonder sometimes at my own unbelief. And I think of the man in the scriptures that Jesus, when he asked that question, do you believe that I can do this? He said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. And, you know, I think it's a prayer that we also need to pray many times. Lord, help my unbelief. And a question that I also need to wrestle with and ask myself, what is there yet lacking in my life? What in my life could be different if I had faith? What if my life could be different? Jesus was saying in these miracles, do you believe that I can do this? If you believe that I can, then it's going to happen to you. And you know, that's the way it is with the message of salvation. Yes, we have a part to do. I'm not avoiding that at all. But there still comes to a point where I must simply accept that Jesus can save me from my sins. And I have that simple faith that Jesus, the one who did all these miracles, can save me from my sins. And that faith, as it buds there in salvation experience, God continues to take that faith and to take it in so many other areas of life, where he asks us to reach out in faith, step out in faith, and as you have faith, so be it unto you. Number two, some people saw these miracles and turned up their nose. And I don't know how they did that, seeing all the miracles that Jesus did. It seemed like all the miracles we read about happened within a couple days. And John says that if everything were written, the world could not contain the books that could be written. And I think they were only trying to downplay the power of God. But one of the things that I do think about as I read about people like this is that there's going to be people that we grow up with, and probably all of you can think of, at least older ones, can think of people you've grown up with, associated with, who turned up their nose at the power of God to forgive sins and walked away. I think it's a lesson for us because the Pharisees were of the religious people. The Pharisees, of all people, should have accepted Christ, should have recognized him. There are going to be religious people today who turn up their nose at the power of God. And number three, and lastly, do I believe that Jesus can save me from my sins? You see, we read here that the reason Jesus healed all these people is because he wanted us to know that he could forgive sins. He wanted us to know that. He also many times cast out devils. He has more power than the works of darkness. He has more power than any of the demons, any of the people who promote his cause. Jesus has more power than them. Jesus also has power over death. And while we will still die if we continue to live, the sting of death has been taken away, and the fact that we know that if we are saved from our sins, we leave this life, we can look forward to eternity with Jesus Christ. And so, the question for me to answer is, in light of these miracles that Jesus does, do I believe that he can forgive my sins? Very simple question, but yet it is very foundational for us as we go through life and to face eternity. Now, I continue to think of the response. We read down through here the response of people. And my Bible says that the blind men here, that Jesus told them not to tell anyone. And I have to wonder why Jesus did that. Is it because, was it so that he could go about more freely? I don't know. Or if it was just a test for them, I'm not sure. My Bible says it was unwise zeal. But I kind of think that if I'd have been blind and could see, that I'd probably be wanting to say a few things too. And yet I think about the fact, though, that I truly was blind, but now I can see. And I ask myself the question, why don't I do like these blind men then? Why don't I just tell more people about Jesus and what he has done for me? How I was blind, but now I can see. And I think about also Jesus, as he had such compassion on people. And one of the reasons that people flocked to him is because he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as the sheep having no shepherd. And one of Jesus' prayers was there'd be more people that would go out into the harvest. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And this week, as we go throughout our week, the question that I want to wrestle with is, how can I be a person who is spreading the good news of salvation, believing it because of the fact that while Jesus was here on this earth, he did so many miracles, and he clearly had power over Satan and all his foes. And so that gives me all the more reason to share the gospel of salvation with those that I meet. Let us kneel for prayer.